it's me, Mr. Tumnus here on the red carpet, and I'm so fucking excited to be the person to give awards away to my favorite family, the Pevensies. I met the small one in the woods, and she basically got me tortured and killed, but I liked it, and it was fun, and now we're best friends. So, without further ado, the most adults that have the brains of a child that I've ever met in my life goes to Pevensies! Hooray! Okay, cold open over.
What's up, Survivor?
Love is like a coal fire. It makes the train go chew.
Youth Survivor Support Group.
Bump me out, make me sad.
Hi, I'm a Power Ranger.
Haley Williams owns my app.
You give me the scales of life and death?
Becca, no.
Becca,
I want to believe.
Yeah.
Welcome to Youth Group Survivor Support Group, the podcast that covers what it means to not be in church no more. I'm a little box of Turkish delight. I'm Dylan Davis, and I'm joined by my co-host and best friends, Becca Stogner, and Charlie Allen.
Well, it's noise hours.
Well, if you can't tell, Charlie's flying through the air to deliver us his tier rankings, because this week we are wrapping up our summer camp series on everything Narnia by giving you our tier rankings for the best and the worst of everything that Clive Staples Lewis has to offer. And let me tell you, folks,
it was a lot.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
At least out of what we talked about.
I'll tell you what, like my regular vacation, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Oy vey.
We've been in Narnia too long, man.
Yeesh.
I'm feeling like a logo. I've
you trailed off like a comic who didn't get a laugh. You were like,
I aged
how about
30
this,
years.
Worst overall is Horse and His Boy. I think we just.
I think so too. We'll see if any of that Horse and His Boy shit comes up in these questions. But it seems generally like it's Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Most of what I wrote down was about the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But if we have any thoughts toward the book, yeah, I suppose they can be addressed.
Yeah.
Cool.
So to recap, if this is your first time listening to this episode, this is what you chose to start with. Crazy, first of all.
Surely this is everybody's first time listening to this episode.
Has to be the craziest decision you've made. Friend, this is the weirdest thing you're going to do all week, because for our summer camp series, we covered the Disney Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe movie, the book A Horse and His Boy, and we covered the BBC miniseries of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And then today, like I said, we're gonna rank it. We're going to put it through its paces. We're going to really get into it.
Nitty gritty. We're going to sort of build our own movie of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe out of the component pieces of the other movies.
That's right. Yeah.
Should we do it?
Let's do
it. Okay.
Okay. Nothing is in any particular order.
Yeah, of
course.
The
first thing that I wrote down was Best Aslan.
Best
So Aslan. We have Liam Neeson CGI Aslan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Versus a specifically crafted yak hair and car seat covers puppet with two operators and an animatronic with a remote and a creepy voice actor.
Now, here's my question.
And an Aslan made of text.
Can I throw the Horse and His Boy Aslan in there?
Yeah.
He turns into a house cat, and at one point his paw print fills up with water. I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Aslan was the best part of Horse and His Boy. I don't know if that's the best Aslan.
Well, you don't have to hear him come, so he's higher than the BBC version.
True.
That's
in terms
true.
Of performance. If we're rating it on performance, Horse and His Boy Aslan is going to run away with it for me, because Liam Neeson just showed up, probably drunk as well.
Yeah.
Just finished beating up someone he didn't like that didn't look like him. And just kind of went through his acting paces.
Who am I, the lion?
But even that is still better than listening to a man go through a ketamine trip like the BBC miniseries.
You know what? I'm going to swerve right off the bat, and I think I'm going to say Horse and His Boy Aslan is best Aslan.
Same here.
Then I would go Liam Neeson, would go BBC. I'm sorry, I know you love how that BBC lion looks, but I just can't.
I wouldn't
say
he's the best, though, just because he's a pretty kitty.
Yeah.
My ranking is the same as Charlie's. Becca, do you have a differing
The horse and his boy is not something that often crosses my mind. So
why ever not?
But also, I guess I would just agree because it's like neither one of these Aslans is like necessarily the better choice.
No. Yeah.
Because there's things that are like lacking from both of them.
Yeah.
Like emotion.
I feel like the Liam Neeson one has more things that are right about it, yeah. But that doesn't necessarily
mean it feels
mean
a little
like,
hollow.
It definitely does.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with like his scenes with Tilda Swinton. It's like these are two insanely like well-known actors.
This and should be electric and
yeah,
it's not.
And it's so it's yeah, very it not. Not even from her either.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah.
So I guess Horse and His Boy, Aslan it is.
Most mystical.
Saying I didn't even know if we'd talk about it, and he's snatching the first
title. One. A kind of a dark horse candidate, if you will.
So every Aslan has his white witch. We have the Tilda Swinton white dreads villain. From the Disney version, mm-hmm. We have, I guess she's not in Horse and His Boy.
No.
So we also have
she dies, I guess.
Our Kabuki Queen from BBC.
What?
Holy shit. So I'm on BBC Kabuki Queen's Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Her name
shit,
is
okay.
Barbara Kellerman.
Barbara Kellerman.
Right. She is still alive.
Good.
Sly.
Born in 1949.
Wow.
Was born in Manchester, and her Jewish father fled Nazi Germany and settled in Leeds. So she's like part of the like Holocaust diaspora or whatever. I just wanted to see what else she was in. For me, it's her. She's mommy. I love her. Come fuck me. No, not really. I'm in a committed relationship. And also, you're probably like 80 years old, but...
So best
aren't you
white
on her
witch.
Wikipedia page? You could
currently
look up how old she is.
Yeah, I'm not doing no math, though.
So your best white witch is going to be Barbara Kellerman.
Oh, yeah, Barbara Kellerman.
Mother in
it's
braids.
It's going to be Barbara Kellerman for me as well.
Oh, man.
I love that performance. Tilda is mommy also, and I love that she gets to have different looks. And, her fashion is always on point. But I just, like, there's something about that performance where I'm like, I know what Tilda is capable of, and I know she's doing it, but she's not doing all of it. Whereas Barbara Kellerman is putting every ounce of her Keller Mussy into,
oh my God.
A picture of her out of the makeup. She's
she's
bad.
A baddie.
Stunning.
She's a baddie.
But yeah, you can tell she put everything she had and more into her performance in the BBC. So I would give it to her
If I wasn't attracted to her, just the performance enough is my favorite type of performance. Like just pure scenery chewing. And I think it brings a lot more... it should feel dreamlike. It should feel if you can't do everything you want to with the effects, then you have to sort of like make it fantastical in your depiction of these characters. And she really does that. I think she really fucking nails it.
That's interesting.
And Tilda, my problem with a lot of the acting in the Disney version is that it is trying to be too grounded and too psychologically realistic when these things are... You're playing like the evil queen. You know what I mean? It's like it can't be that. So I think that she gives it the necessary thing.
Man, I understand that, but my ranking is gonna be reversed.
I gotcha.
Tilda's my top.
Yeah, is she?
Yeah, I like. I'm a bit of a fashion bitch. I like a wardrobe change.
Mm-hmm.
There's some like really. She moves so fluidly in the battle scenes. And
she
that
does.
Was,
it's true, and that's really cool. Yeah,
she's very good at choreography. The man, that ice crown stays with me of various degrees of melting. Yes, the performance is kind of lacking in terms of, like, intensity and heart. Like, it's lacking in heart, which I think was intentional. I think she was trying to go for more cold person. But, man, Barbara Kellerman really swings for the fences.
Yeah.
And I think she delivers some home run line reads that are fun to watch at a party, like we spoke about in our last episode. But it's so much more striking to me. I remember Tilda Swinton. I forgot Barbara Kellerman existed till we watched this again. So Tilda Swinton is my top white witch, but Barbara Kellerman has a soft spot in my heart as mommy, as mommy dearest for sure. Yeah, we also have the title of the episode now. Tilda Swinton is my top.
So I guess majority would be Barbara Kellerman.
Yes, seems majority.
Like, yeah,
Kellerman's going to
win,
All right. So for White Witch villains, I have kind of like the dwarf and Mogrim as the standouts, and then just like the rest of her army is also
for sure. We can start with the
so
dwarf
we have,
and Mogrim.
In Disney, we have our Deep Roy Deepfake.
Right.
And
true.
And a very, very white guy voicing the wolf and not doing a very good job.
Michael Madsen, yeah.
Versus in BBC, where we have rat-nosed dick boy screaming at the moon.
Very scary.
And the dwarf just kind of dwarfing.
Well, the dwarf, he does put on a leather vest and go to a biker bar.
I will say that that guy that plays, I think it's Skinnerbrick or whatever the dwarf's name is, he is every dwarf in every Narnia miniseries that's important.
Hmm.
So we're going to see that actor a lot.
Nice.
That's respectful. I'm conflicted here. I think I like the deep fake dwarf better, but I think I like the BBC Mogrim better.
I don't like either Mogrim at the end of the day. I have...
Yeah. You gotta pick a lesser two.
I'd rather it be weird and scary than
fucking lazy. Boring.
Yeah, exactly.
It just rang true for me with his line delivery, where in Disney he was like, "My apologies, fortune in favor of the queen."
Yeah.
It's just like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's like a first take.
In the BBC one, we didn't really talk about this, but he comes around and he's like, "My apologies for the favorite of the queen." It's like,
but I'd still rather have that.
Yeah.
And then he goes around the corner and he goes, "Or not so fortunate."
Those steps got chewed on. Of Nothing But Trouble. You guys know the movie Nothing But Trouble? It's like Dan Aykroyd, but it's the grossest looking movie I've ever seen. And there's a guy with a nose that looks like a penis. Anyway.
In terms of like the White Witch's larger army, I think I would say Disney.
Me too.
It's cooler. It looks execution better.
Is so much. It's so evocative in the Disney one. I think that one. And that's really what you're judging it on. You know? Like that execution scene, that's where those.
Like the latex skeleton faces were just like that took me so out of it.
And the lack of movement, there's no
movement. Yeah, the fact that they're not hype, whereas like the other one, everyone's like beating drums and snarling and like having the time of their lives.
Going Disney on this one.
So we are agreed on this that Mogrim BBC wins over Mogrim Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Deep fake dwarf wins from Disney, and Disney Army wins over BBC Army, which is, it really feels no contest on that one.
Yeah.
And this is stuff we don't have. There's nothing really to talk about from Horse and His Boy. There's no category. We pretty much decided in that episode that you shouldn't read it and it should be forgotten about. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, who is the worst villains in Narnia? Is it this one group of harpies and ghouls and villains, this other group of like harpies and ghouls, or just brown people writ large? Who's the most evil thing you can think of?
What if the villain was, I don't know, brown people? Is what C.S. Lewis said.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Best Lucy.
God damn it.
We have Flatterson from Disney. We have Chubby Cheek Bowling Ball Crying from BBC. And then I get she's,
we have Queen Lucy and
Queen
Horses
Lucy
Boy.
For Horses Hardly. Boy.
Yeah. She doesn't really do anything in Horses Boy.
Can we call this Battle of the Gap Tooth? Because all of them have gap teeth.
Battle of the Gap Tooth and the Doe-Eyed Stares.
I was really mean about her in the last episode, but I think the Lucy from BBC is much better than the Lucy from Disney. She's a better 100%. Actor. She's just a better actor, and she
the Lucy
the
one is just
better.
Disney is just nicer to look at.
Yes, I still think it was a cruel thing to do to put that girl on screen.
Yeah, it was targeted bullying.
It was it's harassment. Setting her up for a fall.
Yeah.
I remember my class like laughing the first time she shows up.
She is laughable to look at.
Oh, like yeah,
and they probably cast her for that. That's the really
laughable
difficult thing
Lucy.
Is that I think she was so evocative looking in a bad way that they cast her for that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It bums me out. But I do I think she's the better Lucy.
Yeah, BBC Lucy is going to win it for me. Just a better actor. She didn't have to care like no one had to carry her through scenes because they were all pretty bad. Yeah.
Disney Lucy is dead behind the eyes. There's nothing there.
She's acting with her mouth and her voice, but she can't make her eyes like match. And BBC Lucy had some moments like that, but not nearly as many.
It was their first attempt at having an AI actor.
And we didn't even know.
We didn't clock it.
We just thought, damn, this girl sucks.
So BBC Lucy?
BBC Lucy wins. Yep.
BBC stands for Bowling comes. Ball Crying.
Here she comes to accept her award. She is crying.
Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. That's actually Mrs. Beaver.
It's not her turn yet. Sit down. Next, we have Best Peter. So I guess we would have King Peter mentioned in Orson's Boy.
Fighting
we have
giant. He's literally not in it, though.
Teen Heartthrob from Narnia.
Fucking Tiger Beat Peter.
Tiger Beat Peter. And we have just a little lad from BBC.
Just the little twinkiest Peter.
Little waif.
Dickensian orphan.
I don't like Peter.
I don't like Peter.
Yeah, none of these options are
full stop. I don't
good
like Peter.
Options.
This I feels... think to me, I'm going BBC because that kid blends into the background like he is camouflaged.
Well, that's a good point.
And so because there, and he also has the funny scene where things red over for some reason while he's killing Mogrim, and it's like an Evil Dead.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I thought that was kind of funny. So I think he's lightly taking it. Disney Peter can get fucked, and
yeah, he can.
Horse's Boy, I bet he can. Horse's Boy, Peter can especially get fucked.
Yeah, because he's off fighting
absentee
giants,
father,
trying
ass
to
bullshit.
Fucking colonialize the North. I'm going Disney Peter. I know, but he is so much more honorable to me as an older brother. He's got at least an attempt at a personality that isn't just being contrary and rude to his siblings.
Yeah.
His sword looks good. He's got just giant, wet-looking lips.
That's true. Big fish lips.
Big fish lips. We love big fish lips.
What's he up to now?
What is he up to? See what the last thing he was in. But yeah, I again, Peter, as we talk about, is a forgettable character. Yeah. He's just the guy, to me, he's the oldest son in the parable of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do anything wrong. He just kind of stayed at home and gets mad when things go well for his younger brother.
William Moseley. And it looks like he was on a show called The Royals until 2018. Apparently, he's in The Little Mermaid.
Really?
He's in this live-action Little Mermaid that they just
put
out.
Hoomst.
On the line with Mel Gibson. That's cool.
Oh,
I'm going to go Disney Peter as well. I think just because the image fits more so of what, and that's...
Yeah.
Because all important. The performances of Peter are kind of just flat.
Yep.
But
I'm not afraid to get outvoted in this particular one because I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
BBC Peter reminds me of when I was in a production of Les Mis in high school, and we had a 10-year-old playing Androlos. While all the rest of us were in high school and a full foot taller than him.
Why?
Because he was the youngest in a family of favorites that were frequently cast in the leads, and that was his like first big chance. The other cast had a normal teen boy, but it was this little 10-year-old being like, here's the map and where we're going to go for revolution, and like all of us behind him having to be like, yeah, yes. It was wild.
Favorite, this family is, you're fucking up the show.
Yeah, the show
cast.
Is
yeah,
sad.
They ruined many shows.
That sucks. Man, we have so much of that. Just a little community theater tea. We have so much of that going on right now in community theater.
Isn't it
Murphy's
great?
Bro?
There is
it
nothing sucks. Like community theater tea.
God.
There it's really just, isn't.
Well, the thing is, theater people are so cool and normal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's when you talk to them, you're like, there's going to be nothing to report here.
Yeah. This
is... Because everything you're saying to me is so regular.
Definitely not a lot of unresolved high school
the
issues.
The thing that's the best about community theater, though, is that you have, like, people, like, theater people.
Yeah.
Mixed with Bob from Real Estate who needed something to do.
Yep.
Yeah, wanted a hobby. His wife said, she's got to leave sometimes.
What if there was a music scene where all the music sucked and everyone was a sex pest?
Oh, are you talking about Clarksville's
music?
Got him! All right.
Best Peter's going to Disney.
Here he comes now. He's making a guppy face.
A rough category, even rougher than Best Peter.
Oh, no.
Best Susan.
Hard.
All background faders.
Yeah, for sure.
And the Horse and His Boy one is being too much of a girl.
Well, there she's like the MacGuffin. She's almost an object.
Yeah, she's almost the plans for the Death Star. Yeah.
Thank God she doesn't marry somebody who doesn't look like her. Because I thought I was reading that book and I thought this is going to be a horror story because I think they're going to mix races.
The ghost of C.S. Lewis has possessed Charlie. We can't get him out. We're trying.
I hate you, you fucking Nazi. I'll say it every episode.
I feel like I would say Disney, even though none of them are good, I just feel like, again, she like looks the part more. Like, I know Susan's supposed to be older, and Susan and Lucy could essentially be the same age in BBC.
Yeah. Susan has an unfortunate role.
She does.
Of being a nag. And being a voice of reason, because she's the de facto parent. Her and Peter are the de facto parent of their sibling group. They're the oldest.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because Peter's okay with going to Narnia, she's got to be the one to be like, we should go home. And no better version of that exists than the Disney one. Because in the books, she's at least on board, somewhat. In the Disney version, she's very much like, I want to go home. Until she meets that big lion and all his good stuff. And I'm with you on that one. I think the BBC one, she's clearly not a good actor. Like I said, in that episode, she's repeating, under her breath, saying the lines that the other actors are saying.
That, to me, is almost enough in itself to be like, you're not winning this one, girl.
No,
I'm sorry.
You can't. Like, it's got to go to Disney Susan.
Yeah, I think Disney Susan is the best of them.
She's at least a little hot. Like
at least. It's
fine.
Yeah. Oh, here she comes to accept her award. she's telling them they got to leave early. She's pointing out her watch.
Yeah. Give us a Regina Spektor needle drop to send her out. Next up, we have our best little snitch. Best Edmund.
My favorite character, Edmund.
Disney version. I think I like Disney version more almost just because his hair is black. And to me, Edmund's hair is black.
It is. Yeah. It's in the books. It said he's got black hair.
Exactly like Peter. There were points where you literally cannot tell them apart.
I feel like
that's a mistake.
Well, being the same height, having the same hair, you're
the
right.
The only way you can tell is when they get close up to Edmund and you can see his like freckle face.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's anybody's guess.
You couldn't find another kid in all of England, who looks slightly different from the kid that you already cast.
Which producer's son are you? Is what I wanted to ask.
I just think that the Disney Edmund is the best actor of any of the kids in any of them. Full stop. He's the best.
He's in the next two, like Disney and the Fox sequels, and he's continues to be like a good performer.
He's really good. He's good. I really take him.
His name is Skander Keynes,
I believe so. Yeah.
He's a good actor. I will say, I think he's gonna win, but second for me is Horace and his boy Edmund, because seeing a grown up Edmund be like, yeah, dude, I fucking cut heads off. I'm kind of a fun hang.
He's the only fucking person, I said this in the episode, but he's the only Pevensey that actually does some real fucking governing.
Yeah, he does.
He is like in charge.
He's got justice on the mind.
Yeah. Lucy just goes around like, blah, 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 blah. Susan is just like an object that they're trying to marry off.
Yep.
Peter's off on his fucking vanity project up in the north. And Edmund's left to be like, I thought we had four kings. Am I the only one here who's going to do his goddamn job?
I guess I'll do it, Pete. All right. Oh, yeah. Lucy's talking to sheep again. All right. I'm going to go fucking...
I think for me, seeing an actor depict the Edmund in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is really like the most dynamic.
Yeah.
Really the most dynamic character in any of this ever.
The only other one would be Eustace, which is their cousin.
Yeah.
And he's not around till Dawn Treader, so.
But I think it's got to go to Skander.
Skander Keynes.
Disney. So for kids as an overall unit.
Ugh.
Which one are they the best in?
Disney, right?
Disney.
Yeah.
Gotta be Disney.
We don't have to even... Can we not?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't spend another moment with the boring...
These Brits.
These dumb fucking...
Ugly, limey losers.
A couple more background character ones to get into.
All right.
Best MacReady Professor Duo.
Ooh.
MacReady Professor Duo. Oh, man.
I feel like MacReady has more screen time in Disney than she does in BBC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Professor is a lollygagging drunk.
I kind of like BBC. I think I'm going BBC because MacReady gets put in her place, and I just love it. He's so drunk. He's so wasted.
It is.
He's
fun.
Drooling on the script that he has hidden on the set. It is.
I would
awesome.
Say Disney like just because I feel like the urgency to hide from MacReady is more urgent and pressing,
yeah,
because
fair
she's
enough,
scary,
fair enough.
And the professor is fine.
Oh man, I get to decide here, huh? Okay, Hey, your heart's not wrong. Heart wants what it wants. We're going Disney.
Mm. Hey,
I understand. From the that smooth, rich purple velvet smoking jacket.
His fit is fabulous.
He's almost got Tumnus's hair.
Yep.
Yeah,
with
he does.
That curly, cute little
like
mustache.
He's like two horns made of hair, basically.
Yeah, he looks like a Seussian character.
Yeah,
he looks like
the
Ron Howard. Yeah, Ron Howard's Grinch.
Yeah,
like a Who. I dig that a lot, and he's got that nice little voice when he talks. I like that a lot. So yeah, it's Disney for me.
He
here
does have
come.
A lot of goat-like qualities.
If just he had just been
when he's chewing on that apple,
little swigs of brandy in between takes, I think it would have put it over the edge for me. But
what else are you gonna do in the British countryside as a landed member
right.
of the gentry?
My brain's so fucked up, I can't even begin to describe it.
From years of incest and swilling this brandy I make myself, I have nothing left to offer
the
world. The
nice
I know nothing
I've
but apocalyptic violence.
And the wars I've seen.
I saw World War I, I saw the creation of a world, I saw the first emperor be deposed. I have lived! I have seen horrors.
So I guess
the
Disney,
devil's real and I
Disney wins that one by majority. Another category that's going to kind of end up being like lesser of two evils.
Oh, no.
Best Santa.
God damn it.
Another drunk man.
Versus another drunk man.
Yeah. Versus like an intense
we're
kind of
most,
weird
Yeah,
fellow.
The most sober actor ever put on screen. He's chugging black coffee. He's like, make sure there's no whimsy in this portrayal of Santa Claus, by the way.
I have to stay awake.
I'm going BBC... because he's Santa Claus. He's not fucking Santa Claus in Narnia. He's just a scary man with gifts.
He's a fucking Viking barbarian.
It's just my uncle.
Yeah, a stern uncle who caught you trespassing. Yeah.
I would say BBC as well, just for the Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going BBC as well. First of all, visually very striking. Can't miss BBC Santa.
Yeah.
When he goes,
and for you, Mr. Beaver, I've fixed your house, and I built your dam, and I cut your lawn, and I trimmed your hedges, and I painted over that part of the garage that you wanted to paint over, and I went through and I went to Home Depot for you, and you look like you're out of nails, so I got you some nails.
What if they did a thing in the Beaver's house? They're like, we heard you like potatoes, so we made you a whole broom of potatoes.
I love potatoes.
I made you a potato cellar.
Oh, for Mrs. Beaver, some new yarn and another thing of yarn
and
some
a third thing of yarn.
And you could crochet.
Mrs.
With
Beaver's
it.
Like, is he single?
So BBC clean sweeping. Best
BBC
Santa.
Is carrying.
Despite his rambling nature.
But for the kids, I think that the BBC is the better depiction. But we'll see. We got to keep moving.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Best Beaver.
And as though to make me eat my words.
We come to a screeching halt.
Well, when I look at the beaver in the Disney one, it's not a waking night terror.
Yeah, I'm not afraid I will be in a sleep paralysis state and see Mr. and Mrs. Beaver out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah, the Disney beavers are cute and sweet, and there's no question whether or not they should follow him because they could obviously punt him if they really needed to. Also, Mrs. Beaver, there's like just... There's
I think we should just all look at this picture I took last night.
Fucking
before we make our decision.
Fucking American Werewolf in London pre-mid-transformation.
I wanted to post that picture with the caption, this is a protagonist.
His bloody teeth.
Yeah.
The zooms in on him. Mrs. Beaver in Disney has a little bit of a boob action going on too,
boob
so you can tell her apart.
True. She's got a snatch waist. She's going
Which
for it.
I appreciate.
It. I do too.
She's corseted.
And I think I prefer the fact there are actors in the room in the BBC version. It feels hollow in Disney, but they are more charming in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. This
I'm
is harder for me.
I gotta go Disney because I cannot in good conscience give those costumes.
Think about how that beaver looks like a bloody stool as you make your decision.
You're right. It's Disney. Disney beavers all the way. Here come Jim Broadbent and the actress playing Mrs.
And
Beaver.
Not only that, but like they're more annoying in the BBC one.
That's true.
There's more of the annoying stuff that C.S. Lewis wrote for them, whereas they're at least semi-competent in the Disney one, which I think is enough for me.
They're better guides for sure in the Disney version. They accomplish their mission with less.
They look like if the Country Bears were haunted. They got like a Five Nights at Freddy's sort of experience at the Country Bear Jamboree.
or like a witch cursed someone to look like that. You gotta learn it. Like a woodworker was cursed to look like.
Don't look at those things. Watch Gooby instead.
Watch Gooby.
Please watch Gooby.
You gotta watch Gooby.
I beg of you to watch Gooby. I love that movie so much. Our last character category that I have is Best Tumnus.
Man, this is kind of
tough. And I know this is kind of a tough call because they're both pretty good.
Yeah.
Both carried their scene.
I definitely. The Lucys were giving them nothing.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think he's bad. James McAvoy.
No, of course not.
I think he does really well, but I think that the BBC guy is more locked into what I think Narnia should feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, he's just too... He feels like a person. He feels like a real-life person in the Disney one, and I don't like that. I think he should be sort of like, oh, it's me, Tumnus. Oh, I'm the pen flute man. He's a fairy tale creature.
Where you're not sure if you're really experiencing.
I feel like you get to feel more sympathy for Tumnus in BBC because ultimately, I mean, you do spend more time with him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
really?
But I don't know. I'm not gonna go against McAvoy. I think if he were to lose, I would throw him the pity vote. But
yeah.
I think they're both good options. Also, so it's like
they are both good options.
What are you gonna do?
I'm leaning to Disney.
Yeah.
Here's why. You talk about spending more time, gaining more sympathy. I feel like we get a ton more sympathy from McAvoy, especially the jail cell with his broken little fawn legs.
Yeah, yeah.
When he throws it back and looks back at it. Ass, yeah, where he's like,
big goat ass.
Yeah.
I forgot that we did see him in prison.
I mean, at least they get the fucking tail right.
Yeah, they give him a goat tail.
Give him a goat's tail.
Yeah.
Plus the cute little umbrella that he walks with.
Yeah.
That is an iconic image from the novels that, like,
sticks
with me.
That's also in the BBC one.
It's true, but he doesn't like do the full.
Yeah, I like the look of the BBC one a little bit better. It nudges it out a little bit for me.
I like the little
tail.
Goat nose prosthetic on McAvoy. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going McAvoy.
If I have to, if it comes down to the wire, I'm gonna go McAvoy.
I understand. Yeah. I get it.
It's tough though.
Hey, right in, James McAvoy. Let us know what it was like
being
on that
set.
Come
on the pod, bro.
Seriously. We'll talk
about it. Imagine. I would only ask questions about Split.
Yeah, I would lose my shit.
Like,
I'd ask X-Men First Class questions.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
So when you were acting with Michael Fassbender, your best friend and possibly boyfriend,
what's the set like on Apocalypse? Because it didn't seem like anybody was having fun.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
Were you mad?
It seemed like you were pissed to be there. Jennifer Lawrence clearly doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to be there at all. It's like, signed on for those, signed the contract, immediately got Hunger Games, immediately blew up, and then is like just stuck wearing blue makeup all the time.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet... Did you get to meet a sentinel? Did you meet
a
giant
cool?
robot? Were they neat?
Is Bolivar Trask cool, actually?
In real life?
In real life.
Is he cool?
Anyways.
This is gone off the rails.
Best like, set, world, like, look of Narnia, things, look of the house. Although the mansions are essentially identical.
They are
gotta be Disney for me, I'm
Disney's
sorry.
Disney?
Yes.
Disney's is much more magical.
Yeah.
I prefer New Zealand over the Irish countryside.
Think about that first, just compare the first scene, which I think is probably, like, the most evocative image of all of Narnia, of her going through the wardrobe and it's like a cold forest back there. It works so much better in the Disney one.
It sure does.
Or it feels like a haunted house that, like, your youth.
It's
because
of
on.
All the smoke.
Yeah, like a hell house.
The smoke and the, like, creeping branches.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Disney, that might as well be a shot taken from, like, Polar Express.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah. I prefer the Disney version of Narnia much more.
Even though I think in the grand scheme of fantasy universes, Narnia is fucking boring.
It is, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Nothing going on. There's two little biomes.
Because Aslan's camp is just always a bunch of tents.
Yeah.
on a grassy field.
Winter and spring are not essentially that interesting.
Yeah.
No.
There's a lot of just like bare landscape
yeah.
in general in these.
And sending the Pevensey kids to Dune and they're like, oh, fuck, this is what a real story is like.
It's hot as shit, man. I have to wear a stilt suit to walk through this goddamn yeah. thing? There's giant worms? What the hell?
Or like, there's so much more creativity in The Wizard of Oz,
yeah.
which came out 100 years before Narnia.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, so lazy and boring. And I think it's because he just sees it as, like, anti-British to have any sort of personality, which, you know, is probably
which
right.
Which is kind of true. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Their food is boil it till the flavor's gone yeah. for the most part.
And they then mush peas, vinegar. For fuck's sake. What is wrong with you?
They're already mushy. You don't have to make them softer.
I remember getting a plate of mushy peas when I was in the UK and being like, I'm not going to fucking eat that. It looks like Nickelodeon gack.
It looks like baby food. Ew.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Here, we caught an eel, maybe the scariest thing in the water, and we put it in a pie crust. Enjoy. No thanks.
That's why Sweeney Todd is a plausible story.
Yeah. Yeah.
British food is.
Well, they're like, shit, man, what is this? This tastes like real food. We've never had this before.
You say you used salt? What is that? We've never seen it.
So best set world, Narnia, look of things.
Here comes the entire land of Narnia to receive this award.
Another probably obvious winner is going to be Disney. Best battle.
Yeah, yeah, we don't even have to go through it.
Damn, I don't know, because the BBC one is so low rent that it's funny. It's like, it's funnier, and the Disney one is bland. Like, that's yeah. always what this
but
comes
it has
down
stakes.
To. Is like, it does
and
have
it
stakes.
Matters.
And there's yeah. some really pretty shots,
and
like the
Jesus
phoenix.
Jesus eats a lady's face.
That's true, Jesus
yeah.
does eat a lady's
we'll
face.
We'll never get that anywhere
that's
else.
That's pretty cool. Except for the movie I'm writing. Oh. Jesus, it's about
Jesus
before he starts his mission, and he's just sort of working stuff out, and he goes around eating people's faces.
30 years of trying it out.
Yeah. It's like ages 15 to 29. And after that, he's like, this has been bad. I think I'm going to start being Messiah. But
I'm going to go get baptized, I think.
Fine, Disney. I'll go Disney. I'll go Disney. It's Disney.
Yeah.
It
kind of has
be
to be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Best background characters, like, you know, the Fawns, the Foals.
Yeah, this is like the Narnian army
the
or
guys,
whatever.
Just whoever's in the background.
There was something about the quality of the BBC one that made me think there should be tits. You know,
it did have like Excalibur the movie
yeah
kind of, like there should be more
it feels like
this.
Caligula. I seeing the dryads clothed, I went, this feels wrong.
This is wrong. Yeah,
I think for that reason I'm gonna go Disney. They had the snow leopard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had their
they
CGI
had that
stuff
lion with the glasses oh drawn on him.
Yeah, I
that was cute.
Mary Magdalene. I
who can forget Mary Magdalene?
I like the 2D animated stuff. There's not enough of it to
there's
push
not
it over.
They really clearly isn't couldn't do more than
yeah
what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. It is fun to watch actors in the background of a bad thing react to things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will point you to the BBC fawn who gets unfrozen and splashes the smallest stream of water into a birdhouse. And that's fun. But I think overall the Disney one's got more variety and a lot more a lot of solid background acting as opposed to people who are like, this is my big shot, like
yeah
in the BBC version.
Disney definitely has more variety, but it also has so many things that are just like, that's just a plain animal.
Oh, yeah, like that's just a bear.
But then BBC is also just like, that's just a lady with flowers in her hair and a big dress, and it's
that's
like not even clear what
yeah
she's
right
supposed to be. Yeah.
Right.
So in terms of just having like at least a clear direction, I would have to say Disney.
Yeah.
But it's obvious that BBC like just only had the budget for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had people.
They did.
They had a lot of people.
That's true.
They had quite a few people.
Oh, man, we get that Disney centaur. That guy come up.
Yeah.
Do we even want to say best effects?
We don't have to.
I feel like,
that
yeah
feels
we
mean. That feels like bullying.
Yeah, yeah. It's like putting Lucy in a movie.
Best overall?
Fuck. Okay.
Maybe.
What mood are you in?
Y'all.
Oh.
It's got to be the BBC for me. I know it's fucking 3 hours long, and that's hard. It is hard. But there's so much funny, baffling shit in
yeah
the BBC one.
Yeah.
And they kept in all the stupid stuff that Disney rightfully in their slick machine cut out. And so all this time, I've been operating under the assumption this is how the story is told. I didn't even know that Mrs. Beaver stalled them at their house for like a fucking hour trying to leave or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or weird conversation where like Mr. Beaver and Peter go fishing. That is the stuff I need. That's the,
that fleshes out
even
the world.
Without the White Witch. And the White Witch, I think, is enough to put me over for the BBC. But yeah, I loved it. It's like a good bad movie. It's like Mac and Me. It's like Nothing But Trouble. It's like Sleepaway Camp. It's like got those qualities. And that's what I love.
Wow.
I think I would say Disney. I think BBC is a more fun watching experience to just like kind of gawk at.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy it for that reason. But in terms of just like what is the better picture of what I think of as Narnia, it's going to be Disney.
Well, all right. I get to decide again.
All
right, look. This is what I'll say. I had more fun talking about the BBC miniseries than I did talking about Disney. Disney felt very satisfying and like, yep, this is how Narnia should be made in order to make it marketable to more people. I don't want it to be marketable to more people. If you understand what I mean, it's like, yeah, I want you to enjoy it if you like it, but I like having a thing that's kind of like a silly, stupid thing that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And I have so many more vivid memories of the BBC miniseries with my cousins in a basement gathered around a small CRTV watching that than I do the Disney version that I think I saw in a theater with my whole family. So for me, BBC is going to win even though it got a lower rating just because of the fun I have thinking about it and the amount of times it influenced the way my cousins and I would interact with one another and play outside with one another was based on that miniseries. And for that reason, BBC's going to win it for me.
All right.
I feel like a good comparison between these two is the David Lynch Dune versus the Denis Villeneuve Dune.
Oh, yeah.
The Denis Villeneuve Dune is like much easier to watch for a general audience.
Yeah.
It's not like weird. It's like you get everything that's going
on. It's honestly stunning.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
And I think it's fabulous. It's and really I would watch good. It any day. Yeah. I got no problem watching the Disney Narnia, but the one where they're trying to fill in the gaps with what they can't do with weird technical stuff and doing like weird avant-garde shit, that's just more my shit because I like seeing that kind of stuff on screen.
Yeah, I get that. Mine is experience based.
Yeah,
for sure. Gosh, that Dune though.
That was pretty split.
Yeah,
that was pretty split.
Yeah, I feel like that was a good discussion for sure.
I mean, they're both worthwhile watches. I think so. In their own right.
Yeah.
So there's not really one like clear.
Yeah, like I said last episode, if you're having a party and you just want to have something like on in the background that people can look at it, laugh, or theoretically get scared by a beaver.
No ads played for the whole time it was on YouTube.
That is a good point. Not one time was I interrupted by an ad for AG1.
And I would have liked to be, frankly.
I kept expecting it.
No Ozempic ads, nothing.
Yeah.
I kept expecting like Mogrim would be right about to howl and it would be like, whoopsie, Sonic has a new deal on chicken sandwiches.
Wait, what was the thing that we were watching that had ads where I was like straight up like, oh, thank God. It was something that we watched before Narnia, but it was all on YouTube. And we would hit ad breaks, and I would go, oh my God, oh, fuck, Jesus Christ, I'm out of there.
I just wonder whatever made you the angriest.
Yeah.
Was it Saving Christmas?
It wasn't Saving Christmas, because that was not.
No, that was a Prime watch.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
What had ads?
I'm going to find it, and I'll let y'all know. But do you guys have anything you want to say about Narnia before we get out?
Horse's boy sucks.
Horse's boy fucking blows.
Shotgun blast to the chest.
Don't forget, God is a lion and he has cute little kitty peeps.
Little
40 feet, and he walks like a little swinging feet little guy. He's just a little guy at the end of the day.
Aslan's just a little guy. That's a good takeaway for sure.
I can't find him. It might have been like Angel Wars or something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You liked Angel Wars.
I liked Angel Wars. Maybe it was like
The second episode was rougher, though, for
it
sure.
It might have been a Thou Shalt Laugh, now that I'm thinking about it, because it was either the second one that you hated entirely.
Oh, my God. There are entire sections of those notes that are all caps. That are just.
You can just hear Charlie's cortisol, his blood boiling.
It looks like street signs. so big and bold the text.
My Narnia takeaway. Look, when you grow up only having exposure to one school of thought, to one religion, to one way of being, you get very attached to the small bits of freedom you're allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a Narnia person all the way. I think I kind of fell off in high school for sure. Well, I mean, they weren't for me anymore. I wasn't a kid.
Yeah.
Because these are very much children's stories. I think if you are someone with a deep connection to Narnia like I was, this is worthwhile revisiting with a modern lens to kind of re-engage with the material and reconsider your life and what was good about these things.
Yeah.
I think C.S. Lewis wasn't as good of a writer as I thought he was. I think his personal essays are actually where he shines, not in his children's literature or his fantasy. Maybe in science fiction a little bit, but I haven't read those, so I can't tell you.
I read them years and years ago, or I read one of them years and years ago, and I was like, ah, oh, this is weird. But he's, it feels more like Magician's Nephew or what I imagine Silver Chair feels like, which is like, damn, this dude's got a lot of thoughts in his head. I don't know if they're like organized well, but
he's theorizing about a place that hadn't been explored yet when he was alive, which was space and like deep underground.
I mean, I think that for me, I haven't not enjoyed going back to Narnia.
Oh, sure, it's been a hell of a time.
I really like doing this project. I will say, as an adult coming back to it, I'm like, this is wrong-headed at its very core. You know, there's like something.
Yeah.
Sick in Narnia deeply, and that's why when Greta Gerwig is like, I'm gonna take this on, and they're like, what are you gonna do with it, and she's like, I don't fucking know. I'm kind of like, it doesn't give me a ton of confidence.
Me
because
neither.
It's like, well, the stuff that's there is weird, Greta, like, I'm warning you now, it's gonna be really weird, so
we were
you better
just kind
have
of
something
chatting about that briefly before we started recording this one, that like Greta Gerwig's thing and what's working for her and making her famous right now is that she does female focused films, and there's not really a way to do that.
No.
Unless you decide to make it like fully a Susan and Lucy story, which I don't think
but
anybody
needs.
But they
are literally sidelined for the third act of the movie.
Yeah, they are.
They are pushed to the side and not allowed to do anything. They are just observers.
Yeah. The only people that get stuff to do are Aslan and the boys, really.
Yeah.
And the boys actually have less to do than main characters normally would. It is ultimately a story about Narnia, not the kids. Like, they're the fish out of water, but ultimately, they're just an audience inroad.
And if
you know?
That's the story, if it was, if that's what it was about, like, oh, we showed up in this world that's got its own conflicts and stuff, and we're just, like, being passive observers, then it would be something, but I think that he really thinks, like, oh, I'm doing something with these kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
for
like,
sure.
I'm really telling young girls how to live here.
They
should shut the fuck up and listen to their older brothers.
Which is what, I mean, he says it in all the other books, there's always a line where I kind of go like, where he's like, and then the girl did something that girls shouldn't do. And it's like, okay, I don't think
cool,
you get to say that.
Charles, love it.
Great.
Tell me all the things you think people shouldn't do. I love to fucking
Charles
hear
entertainment
it. Endless bitchy loser.
Well, yeah, that's kind of our, that, hey, you had it there. We're done.
Cool.
We're done.
We're done. Well, do you guys want to walk out of here and age back to 15 and
God, I'd love to.
16.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'd love to. Yeah, with the perspective of a 31-year-old and a 15-year-old body.
Okay.
Shouldn't make me look haunted at all.
Yeah.
True.
I'll be so normal. Anyway.
Creak.
Trump. Tumble, fall.
How long has it been?
Mere seconds, children.
Oh, my acne's way worse.
Somehow worse with all the stress I'm experiencing in this child's body.
Okay, bye-bye, Narnia. Fuck you.
Bye, we'll see you again.
I hope Caldemir burns your castles to the ground.
See you again in the winter, Narnia. Oh, little teaser.
What could that mean?
Well, that's going to do it for us here at YGSSG. As always, follow us online. Talk to your friends about us, online or not. Don't care where you do it. Just talk about us. Tell people we exist. Put us out there. You can follow me on social media at dumdumdylan. At the time of this release, I'm not sure what I've got going on, but I'm sure I'll be talking about it online. That's really all I use social media for, so follow me there. Becca, what have you got to plug?
Heyo, it's Becca. Instagram, Twitter, same thing. I plug all my stuff there if you want to know what's going on with me. Check out my other podcast as well, The Time Machine, for all your Disney Channel fave stuff.
Yep.
That's it.
Charlie Allen American Landmark on Instagram. Piano Pest on Twitter. Charlie Allen Music on stuff. Beware the Pharisee killer. He comes at night. And you don't want to be caught in a church with somebody he don't like. And Give Me the Scales of Life and Death. A Black Magic Curse on Christendom. Until the end of time. Love you guys.
And like we always say here at YGSSG,
Slug-a-bug-a!